Hello and welcome in to Stacking Dubs, where the Warriors do just that. They stack their fifth straight dub in a row, this time against the Denver Nuggets. Everything stacked against the Warriors, and I said it several times in that first quarter. This was a scheduled loss. I was spiraling. By the end of the first quarter, I said, hey, the Nuggets are just going to drop 160. They are too big for us. We have no answer for their size, and we are just beat down, exhausted. And when you're just undersized like that and also just more tired, not a lot you can do. And I was wrong. This Warriors team showed me something, and it showed me that, you know what? And to steal Moses Moody's words, you know, just because you're supposed to be tired, it doesn't mean you really are. Warriors just, you know, flew in probably at 2 or 3 in the morning off of a huge emotional win in LA, on the road for 14 plus days, come home, don't even unpack their bags, get some broken sleep, I'm sure, come out, handle business against a Nuggets team that all their starters were rested at least 3 days, sat all their starters against the Spurs. Two-game losing streak for them, needed a win, and came out hot, shot 70-something percent in the first quarter, did the Nuggets. And it just didn't matter because the Warriors put the clamps on. 44 points for the Nuggets in the first quarter. Next, second, third quarter, 40 points combined. Fourth quarter, 20 points. Just turned off the faucet. Warriors defense. Jokic is going to do his thing, but this Warriors team, and I'll say it right here, it's the best help defense, just team off-ball defense, recovery, rotation, I think in the league. And that's what Jimmy Butler's brought to this Warriors team. Not to slight Andrew Wiggins, because he was a great on-ball defender, our best point of attack defender, best wing defender. Maybe Gary Payton II might have something to say about that. And it was nice to see him tonight for just spurts. But Jimmy Butler now completes this team in terms of defensive shape. It's now the Warriors have, you know, good perimeter defenders, but when you're playing against guys that, you know, like Jokic, like Luka, like LeBron, that can't be guarded one-on-one. They can be slowed at times, but they can't be guarded one-on-one. They're going to command at least 1.5 to 2 guys, and they're putting the defense in rotation. Well, the Warriors have shown that they don't get exposed and they can recover to three-point shooters. They can recover to the better shooters and live with another team's worst defender. It's just a great defensive game plan. It's great defensive IQ. It's just great connectedness. It's great team speed, team lateral speed. It's guys like Podziemski, who are undersized, that play with so much force. He's a disruptor. He provides rim protection in his own right, just taking charges. Now you see Steph Curry. You know, what we're going to say, Steph Curry's providing rim protection, took 2 charges in this one. And then obviously you have, you know, Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler doing their thing as 2 of the best help defenders and disruptors in the NBA. And, you know, and against this Nuggets team who had to get a win, the Warriors defense stepped up huge. But the real story of the game is Brandon Podziemski. Brandon Podziemski, I mean, for all that's been made of, you know, Jimmy Butler and the trade and how the Warriors have now gone, what is it, 19-2 with Steph and Jimmy in the lineup and everything that you've heard and we know, Jimmy gets a lot of credit and deservedly so. But you could make the argument that Brandon Podziemski's rise and his little mini breakout that he's had the second half of the season, particularly since the trade deadline, is really what has propelled the Warriors to that next level, to that next tier. Podziemski, I mean, the last 38, now 39 games of the season, he's been shooting about 42% from 3. That just fixes everything within that Warriors offense. He is just the glue that ties it all together. What you lost in the Wiggins trade from the spacing that Wiggins provided when you downgraded in terms of spacing to Jimmy Butler on the perimeter, Podziemski brings that much needed shooting from the outside to that starting lineup. Combine that obviously with Moody doing a great job kind of being a 3-and-D guy, and then Steph, and now you have 3 guys that are legitimately spacing the floor. And then Podziemski, we've always known he's just a great connector, right? When, especially late shot clock, you can find ways to get him the ball and he can create something out of nothing. It used to be where he was just really sped up as soon as he kind of, you know, got inside the arc, undersized finisher, couldn't really figure out how to finish inside, didn't really have an in-between mid-range game. kind of mid-season iteration of him, you saw him start to develop that deceleration move as he attacks the hoop, finishes a little bit more crafty, finding ways to get fouled, just being more efficient at the rim. And then the next iteration, and while that decel's still there, he hasn't had to rely on it because he's just settling into that mid-range. It's not having to dribble all the way into the paint. It's, hey, I can dribble and just pull up at this elbow. And the shot looks smooth. It looks pure. It's something that, in his rookie season, we said, hey, does this guy even have a jump shot? Does he have a mid-range? Everything's a set kind of push shot. And his mechanics has changed. He talked about it after the game. He does puts a lot of work into the science, the physics, just kind of the mechanics of that shot. And it's really paid dividends, and as that confidence rises and as that shot continues to fall from the outside, you see him just taking his time, going at his own pace, and just finding spots on the floor where, you know what? When Pajemski settles into that little left or right elbow jumper, like that's a high percentage shot. Like that's been going in over 50% of the time this past week or even two. Had one from the baseline. He's just kind of developing more confidence, more places to score from. And his scoring outburst has really been the catalyst to this Warriors offense, aside from Steph Curry, who we'll talk about in a second. Because, quite frankly, for all that Jimmy Butler has brought to this team, he hasn't himself, raised the floor of our second score. He's averaging, I think, about the same amount of points as Wiggins scored for us, maybe even a point or two less, about a point less. It's been the fact that Pajemski has really risen up as a scorer. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he must be be scoring closer to kind of like 15, 16 points a game this past month. Up from what his season average now is about 11, and earlier in the season it was probably below 9. So just this tear, the extra handful of points that he's pouring in. I mean, you could again say that Pajemski is and his breakout is the reason the Warriors are rolling as much as anything else. And again, it's just he fills all the needs that this Warriors team and especially the starters really need. It's another ball handler, creator. Just playmaker on offense. He can now space the floor and score enough. On defense, he can play with force. He can be disruptive. He's a great team defender. Always, he's like a veteran out there. He's a second year, but you forget that because he's so smart on both sides of the court, knows where to be on defense. Sometimes he'll get sucked in a little bit too much and overhelp, but nowhere near as much as he did in past years. And then obviously the rim protection he provides just kind of as taking those charges. Those are all the things the Warriors need and those starters. Oh, in addition, he is a phenomenal rebounder, right? When Pajemski's out there, he's kind of like Gui Santos, where it's just like he's going to get you an extra possession or two or three every shift he's out there, whether it's as a rebounder or just kind of causing havoc on the defensive side and just being very smart. So it's crazy to say, but as we look forward to the playoffs now, it's. You feel confident because it's Steph, it's Draymond, it's Jimmy Butler, and all the years of playoff experience. But outside of, say, Kevon Looney and GP2, not much of this team has much playoff experience. Moody played a little bit a couple years ago. Kuminga's been there, but he didn't play. You have a lot of young players, and you're like, wait a second, they don't actually have that much playoff experience. And Pajemski, who's logging, 30 mid-30s in minutes, he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. He doesn't have any playoff experience, but I'm not worried about him. He is, he's nails. That guy is unfazed. He's unflappable. His IQ, I see him as just like a savvy veteran who is just one of the smartest guys out there, always communicating, always on the same page with the other vets. He's just very connected to this team and mentally, physically, emotionally. And that confidence, that swagger is something that is not going to disappear in the playoffs. It's something that, for all the flack I've given Jordan Poole, and this is a completely different comparison, but it's that unbreakable confidence, and then some that is very important if you're going to be a big playoff performer, particularly in your first playoff run. So, Pajamsi, I just got to give you your love, give you your flowers because you have been as integral as anybody, maybe outside of Steph Curry, during this outstanding run. Over to Steph. God, I mean, there's not much more to say. It's Steph is just on one. Steph is just in April mode. And I don't know what triggered the difference. Is it just, hey, he's got something to play for because he believes in this team now? Is it he thought he was just pacing himself in the, the dog days of the season, and he just kind of turned it up like always, this time of year. Always just been a huge April performer. Is it that, hey, he got that week off and, that knee tendonitis that was kind of bugging him, the knees tendonitis, is that finally back where, or finally gone to the point where, hey, he looks like the quickest guy on the floor, for most of this one. And we're talking about a 37-year-old logging big minutes on back-to-back nights where he was carrying the load, playing phenomenally, and just guys are draped all over him. And he looks as fresh as anybody on the court. And the difference again, and his shooting is just on one lately, but just the ability to break guys down off the dribble, to get to the hoop, to finish. Now the game's starting to slow down for him at the rim, much more confident finisher, or get to the line. Only three times getting to the line, but he broke down the defense several times, and was just making plays. And Steph, another just fantastic game. I think he had 36, and he is looking like this is the form he's going to carry into the playoffs. And if that's the case, this Warriors team has me believing that they can make a serious run. If the Warriors had just laid down in this game and gotten blown out of the water, I wouldn't have even really thought twice. It wouldn't have ruined my opinion of them and changed my judgment on, this team being a very good and solid contending team. They had every reason, from scheduling standpoints that we talked about, to lose this game and just not even be that competitive. But then they showed up and they showed me that this team is a contender, because contenders come in, no excuses. They come in on back to back, playing against two of the top teams ahead of them, playing against, the best player in the NBA outside of Steph, coming off of, an emotional win where they just took care of two of the other best players in the NBA. And quite frankly, they bottled them all up. The defense bottled them all up. Those guys, the stars I'm talking about, still had their numbers, but it's that rotating defense that, kept, I think, LeBron and Luka, they combined for like 16 assists, which is below their normal average. Jokic had 9 assists, which is fine because you're living with him, just having to do everything, and you're not letting other guys beat you. The assists he had, it wasn't like, hey, you're overcommitting everybody to stop him, and then guys are just shooting open threes. No, they were making them work for it, and just kind of the eye test. If you told me after that first quarter, after the Nuggets had 44 points, that they would finish with 104 points against a gassed, tired, undersized Warriors team, I would have told you, you know what? This Warriors team is a contender on defense because they must have stepped it up and showed some heart, and that's exactly what they did. So, I mean, looking forward, now Warriors have same amount of losses as the Nuggets. The Lakers, who are still playing right now, but I think they're going to end up beating the Pelicans, barely maybe, are still a game up in the loss column. Plus, both teams have the tiebreaker on the Warriors. And I say that because that three seed is, that's where you really want to get to, that three seed. It's still a little far-fetched, but it's in play now. The three seed is where, hey, you get to play the Rockets. I'm not going to knock down the Rockets, but I would much rather play them than the Nuggets or the Lakers, or maybe the Clippers. Honestly, we had trouble with the Clippers. But also, that puts you on the other side of the bracket rather than against the one seed Thunder in the second round. So if you can get that 2-3 matchup, excuse me, so you'd be playing the sixth seed, then you'd be looking forward to the Rockets. I misspoke. I'm looking too far ahead, but you want to be in that 2-3 second round matchup, and then you live with whoever falls into that sixth seed. Maybe it's Memphis, who you would love to play Memphis in the first round, and then Houston in the second round, before then eventually you play one of those other three big teams. I think any path that leads you to only having to beat one of the Thunder, Lakers, and Nuggets in this playoffs is just the sweet spot. Plus, you'd have home court advantage in that first round. So it's an interesting thing because, for the last month we've been scoreboard watching, and it's fun. You're rooting against the Timberwolves. At one point, you're rooting against the Kings, who have fallen out of it, and the Mavericks, who have fallen out of it, the Clippers, who are just still right there, right behind us, and basically less than a game behind us because they have a tiebreaker on us. Always following them tight. Then it was following the Grizzlies, and we've passed them, and they fall into the eighth seed. And then now you can start looking at the Lakers, and you can start looking at the Nuggets. The Lakers have the Thunder back-to-back games with a day in between, but they're in Oklahoma City twice. I don't know if Oklahoma City's going to play their guys, but I mean, they got a lot of rest ahead of them. I don't see why they would want to fall out of rhythm and just start playing their backup. So I would expect the Thunder to play their starters at least decent minutes in at least one of those games, if not both. And any excuse to kind of knock the Lakers, maybe even into the play-in, would be great for the Thunder. The Nuggets have a I think they have the Pacers still. I think they have the Rockets still. I believe they have the Grizzlies. So it's not that easy of a schedule either. Obviously, the Warriors have the Rockets coming up, but man, the way the Warriors are playing, the Warriors are going to be favored in that game, especially at home. And then, oh God, I kind of forget the schedule. I think there's the Suns, the Blazers. You finish with the Clippers, and I want to say the Spurs, or there's one more team in there, but it's Warriors can conceivably, get through this with maybe just one more loss. And if they lose just one more game, they have a serious chance of getting at least the 4 seed and maybe even that 3 seed. And then, that's when you worry about the Warriors, because the Warriors are the hottest team in the NBA right now and are playing like they believe once again that they can chase ring number 5. God, that would be sweet. Anyways, it is nice to see some just playoff intensity basketball. It's nice to see Steph Curry with something to play for. It's nice to see Draymond Green cementing this DPOY campaign. It's nice to see Jimmy Butler, who needs to finish a little bit better, a little rusty, and had that left hand taped up a little bit, forearm, but team high plus 21 tonight, had 5 steals, so still finding ways to affect the game. Hit another crazy three at the end of the shot clock, got to the line a bunch, and just kind of find new easy buckets, all the things we said earlier in the season that we were missing. So gotta love it, guys. All right, well, you guys have a good weekend. I will talk to you after the last game in this little gauntlet of the West when we play the Rockets on Sunday. Until then, I've been Chris Chin. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the channel, guys. The more subscribers we get, the better and further the Warriors are going in the playoffs. But until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.